You are now in the north transept, number 2 on the plan, standing by a huge stone pier. There are 3 of these piers on each side of the transept, and they stand on irregular low stone bases, which project outwards. Some of the bases are worn or broken, so take care. The transept is rectangular in shape and forms one of the arms of the cross shape of the building. This area is often used for recitals and plays in the summer, and sometimes there may be chairs set out for the audience. As well as holding daily services, the cathedral is a venue for many activities and plays a full part in the life of the city of Winchester. It's probably as busy or even busier than it's ever been.
However, you are now going back in time in the exploration of the architecture, as this pier is part of the Norman Cathedral, and the architecture of the transept is almost unchanged. All the arches are rounded, as pointed arches were not introduced into England until about the end of the 12th century. In the transept, the walls rise in 3 stages. First, the ground floor arcade of tall arches. Then the triforium, an arcaded walkway, which is made up of 2 smaller arches enclosed by a larger one. Above that is the clerestory, which is formed of round-headed windows. You will notice as you walk around the transept that the floor is uneven. In the nave, you saw the transformed Norman piers, and here is what they would have been like before. This pier is 35 feet, or 10.6 metres around. You can feel that the stones are close-fitting, with narrow mortar joints between them. They are much rougher than the smoother stone of the perpendicular nave pier you explored earlier, and the form is much simpler. The stone is a limestone from Quor in the Isle of Wight, and it was brought by sea to Porchester in Hampshire, and then by Roman road to Winchester. A huge effort, considering the state of the roads and the amount of stone required. The original timber for the roof is traditionally said to have been brought from the Hempage Wood near Earlsford. The transepts provided extra altars for saying masses. In the course of time, the north transept probably became a congregating place for the throngs of medieval pilgrims who had often travelled long distances. The choir is to the south, under the tower, in the centre of the cathedral. The tower, like the pier you are standing by, dates from the 12th century, as the earlier tower collapsed in 1107, and the pier in this position had to be rebuilt. This was a not infrequent occurrence with Norman and medieval cathedrals and churches. To ensure that the rebuilt tower remained standing, the piers supporting it are even stronger and larger than the one you are standing by. The bells you heard in the beginning hang in the tower. The tenor bell of the Ring of 14 weighs 3,500 weight.
Next, walk 10 or 11 paces to find the next pier. This will be to your right if you're facing the pier. Remember the uneven base to the piers. The Norman pier you're now standing by has the same solidity as the one you saw before, but it was built about 40 years earlier. You can feel that the stone is slightly rougher, and the mortar joints between the stones are wider than the one that was rebuilt after 1107. Next, turn around so that your back is to the pier, and then walk straight across the transept to the pier on the east side. It's about 14 or 15 paces across. To the right of the pier is a long wooden bench set quite high above a radiator. It has a step in front of it. Sit down on this bench to hear about the crypt. Switch off now and switch on again when you're seated.
From your position on the bench, the entrance to the Norman crypt is diagonally to your left. You may feel the cold air from this underground chamber if the door is opened. As the access is very awkward, this description has been specially recorded in the crypt to allow you to hear its acoustics. For much of the year the crypt is flooded and is only accessible to visitors in guided parties when it's dry. A short distance from the entrance is the lead statue in human form called Sound II. It was made by the sculptor Anthony Gormley, who wished that the sculpture should always stand in or near water, and indeed there is an ancient well nearby. Much of the east end of the cathedral is raised over the crypt, and its outline follows the original outline of the east end of the Norman cathedral when it was first built. The main crypt, which has a rounded end, is divided from its aisles by massive piers. These lead into a narrower crypt. This in turn leads into the crypt under the Lady Chapel. Get up when you are ready, and move forward 2 or 3 paces to find first the stair lift and the metal rail for it, then the bottom of the steps, known as the Pilgrim Steps, leading to retrochoir level and therefore over the crypt. Follow the edge of the bottom step to the right to find the Holy Sepulchre Chapel. This is built into an arch under the tower. There is a stone tomb in front, and you cannot enter the chapel, but you will be able to hear the enclosed space of it ahead. Switch off now, and switch on again when you're standing by the Holy Sepulchre Chapel. Over almost all the walls and vaulting of this small enclosed chapel are fine paintings which date from the late 12th and 13th centuries. Some of those at the east end were revealed only in 1963 during restoration work, when later paintings were carefully detached and moved to the other end of the chapel. All the paintings are considered to be some of the best in England of their periods. It's not hard to imagine the excitement of revealing those exquisite works of art created more than 700 years earlier. They retain some of their fresh colours, and they tell of the major events in the life of Christ. There are stylistic similarities with illustrations in the Winchester Bible and paintings found as far away as Sicily and Spain. These paintings also remind us that once the cathedral was a blaze of colour, with wall paintings, stained glass and gilded statues of saints studded with jewels. Much of this brilliance was destroyed during the 16th century Reformation of the church and the 17th century Civil War. Henry of Blois encouraged and perhaps paid for some of the production of the famous Winchester Bible, one of the cathedral's treasured books, and may have commissioned some of these paintings. He was a great patron of the arts and of royal descent, being a grandson of William the Conqueror and younger brother of King Stephen.
The grave slab on the tomb immediately in front of you is made of Purbeck marble and has a cross on it which is decorated with leaf ornaments and is known as a foliated cross. You will next visit the north choir aisle and the retrochoir. Cross back over the bottom of the steps, and after about 4 paces, you'll find a wooden handrail on the right. Keep the handrail to your left, and use this and the metal rail of the chairlift to guide you up the 11 steps. At the top of the steps, walk forward 2 or 3 paces, and then turn right across the aisle to find the stone screen around the choir. Stop by this. Switch off now, and switch on again when you're by the choir screen.